I want to read the entire psalm, make just a few statements this morning from it. And I'm going to ask Brother Skelton to preach for us this morning. Some of you have heard it, some of you may not have. I'll never forget the day that Brother Doug Thompson football tackled him here on the platform. And I thought Brother Skelton was in the Holy Ghost. Come find out he had pulled his back out of joint. He was grimacing in pain, and I was telling God to get on him a little heavier. I think we played that tape. They played it on the preacher's hour a few weeks ago. And you could hear Brother Tim groaning. Oh. And there I was in the background hollering, "Poured on him, God, poured on him, God." And I'm sure Brother Tim under his breath was praying, "Lord, don't answer the prayer of that fool. I'm in enough pain the way it is." Amen. Well, it was a good meeting. I don't know if I've ever been in a better meeting than we had 2 years ago, or a year ago this past October. And but God certainly met with us, and Brother Skelton preached a tremendous message on the gospel. There's no doubt about that. And we did have a good time. All right, Psalm number 30 this morning. The psalmist said, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Amen. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Amen. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. Amen. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." Amen. Now, may the Lord add his richest blessing to the reading of his word this morning. I want to try to take the text this morning and bring just a few little weak thoughts out of it that I trust will be somewhat of a blessing to our heart, men, as we continue our study through the book of Psalms. Now, you know that this is the second week that I have tried to prepare my heart for the teaching of this particular passage of Scripture. Last week, I just give out on it. And I'm going to be honest, I laid awake almost all night long last night, continually with these Scriptures in my heart and in my mind. And yet, I wake this morning troubled in my heart, trying to really wrestle with God about the significant truth that we find in these verses of Scripture. I've read after Mr. Spurgeon, I've read after other men, I've read the homiletic commentaries and all the other commentaries, and I'm just going to be quite honest with you. God, for some reason, has absolutely withheld the truth of Psalm 30 from your pastor in its entirety. I don't know why, and I'm not bragging on me, but I've wept this morning, I've begged God, I've prayed, I've sought God's face, and for some reason or another, what God's got in this Scripture has been withheld from my heart. But He's allowed me to a few thoughts on it. I'll try to give them to you this morning, and then we'll go into the preaching hour, okay? And as I said last week, men, the situation here, David is really writing in retrospect. In other words, he is looking back at a situation that has already transpired in his life. Now, from the title where it says, "A Psalm and a Song at the Dedication of the House of David." Now, we realize this morning, if you studied the Bible, that if this title is correct, and I assume it is in the Bible, I believe it to be correct. And somebody said, well, the titles are not inspired. Well, I don't know about that when it comes to the titles of the Psalms. I'm pretty sure that those translators took these titles right out of the original Hebrew and put them in the English version of our Bible. So I'm not sure. I'm convinced that they are just as inspired as the rest of the Word of God. And so being, then David was not alive. He was not around when the house of God was dedicated. That dedication was left for Solomon and not for David. And my God, I believe God just gave me the answer to the whole psalm. I mean that with all of my heart, brethren. Because I have been looking at this psalm. David, I've been looking at David writing in retrospect to the psalm. Looking back at not the house of God that was dedicated, but David's house that David had built it himself. And it's looking back at the time in 2 Samuel 24, whenever David had numbered, when David had numbered the people of Israel. And in numbering them, he displeased God a great deal. David became overconfident. David lost his faith, so to speak, for a while, or should I say his faith was weakened in the power and the blessings of God. David became to rely more upon David and the arm of the flesh than he did upon the Spirit of God. And then in verse 6 he said, in my prosperity I said I shall never be moved. And now I'm trying to get somewhere. Hang with me a minute. And that's what's been troubling me about this psalm. But if this psalm is really dealing with the house of David, now hang right in there now, that we believe to be the temple that Solomon built, then this psalm in its interpretation might very well be getting to King Solomon. Are y'all still with me? Because the verse says, in my prosperity, I said I shall never be moved. Now, there's no doubt, gentlemen, that David was a prosperous man. David was, but David never fell in the end time. David never fell at the close of David's years. But I'm going to tell you who did fall at the close of his years. A man by the name of Solomon. And in his prosperity, gentlemen, Solomon no doubt had become overconfident in himself and what he had accomplished and what he had achieved. And in his confidence, he done a terrible thing. He forgot God. He lost the favor of God. He lost the power of God. He fell into sin against God. And consequently, the kingdom through his son was rent in twain to the northern and the southern kingdom. Somebody said, now what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm just trying to get down to the thought God's given me this morning. We, gentlemen, hey, there are some dangers in prosperity. A wise man once said that prosperity is a greater danger to a child of God than what poverty is. I'm simply saying that we need to be careful in our prosperity lest we forget our God and the judgment of God are the consequences of our failing to remember God fall upon us and bring great evil upon our life. Now, David's prosperity of life, in it he became self-satisfied. Self-satisfied. I know that's true because he wrote, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Now, gentlemen, we better be careful when we become self-satisfied. That is, when we get to a place in life that we're comfortable with what we're doing and where we're at with God, we better be quiet. We better be careful when we get there. Now, I'm not comparing David to that rich young fool in Luke chapter number 12. But there was a rich man in Luke 12 that made this statement. He said, "What am I going to do now?" He said, "I have prospered abundantly." And he said, I've got all the wealth that I'll ever spend. I need nothing in life." But he said, "What is it that I can do?" He said, "I know exactly." He said, "I'll build greater barns. I'll fill those barns to the full. And I'll eat and I'll drink and I'll be merry because I've got everything in life that I'll ever need." And God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Now, I think about that rich man in Luke 16. That man that clothed himself in purple, gentlemen, and fared sumptuously every day, and had no regard at all for a beggar that was laid, no doubt, at his gate as a witness and a testimony of the grace of God. And the Bible said that beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. You know what happened? The rich man also died. And in hell, lift up his eyes in torment. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm simply saying, gentlemen, that we need to be careful about our prosperity. And look here, let me bring this right on down. Not only worldly prosperity, gentlemen, but spiritual prosperity as well. I tell you, when we'll get in trouble with God is when we come to the place that we believe that we have arrived in our Christianity. That we've learned all there is to learn, and nobody can teach us anything out of the Word of God. I'm telling you, you're walking on thin ice. When you get there, that prosperity, he became self-satisfied, and then he became self-confident. I'm confident in myself that I can do it. May I say that we ought to take heed, gentlemen, when we think we stand, we better take heed lest we fall. Huh? That's right. You know what's happening in America today? America doesn't believe they're ever going to fall. We are confident in ourselves that our riches will sustain us. And that our power will prevail over all others. I'm satisfied that's what David thought. My riches will sustain me, and my military pride and power will overcome all enemy. But I'm going to tell you one thing. David, just like America, forgot one thing. God. 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 If you read chapter number 24 of the book of 2 Samuel, you'll read there where David in his confession said, "I have sinned a great sin against God." A great sin against God. Hey, buddy, we better be careful getting confident and self-confident. Because when we think we're going to stand, gentlemen, right then's when we're going to fall. Now, don't get bent out of joint on me already. Okay, because I want to say some things. Hey, it is the Lord's will, I believe, for us to prosper. It is God's will, gentlemen, for us to prosper. He said in Psalm chapter number 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever that man does shall prosper." Now, hey, get a hold of words. I said the other night that the Bible is a book of words, not a book of verses and chapters, but a book of words. You need to learn, hey, study the Word of God. Hey, whatsoever that man does shall prosper. Not whatsoever any man does, gentlemen. Whatsoever that man does, it shall prosper. Hey, we can glean some things from right there. there were some requirements there from the Lord in order to be a prosperous individual. And one of those requirements was that we lead a separated life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, gentlemen. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so there's a requirement to prosperity, and one of them is to be separated. Amen. I don't have any problem with a sanctified man prospering in God. In fact, I believe it's God's very will for him to do that. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't you think for a minute, gentlemen, that we're going to prosper from the hand of God living an unseparated life, living in sin without coming out from amongst the crowd out there and being a separate people. Somebody said, well, I see them every day out yonder that you're doing quite well. Yeah, but that's the prosperity of the wicked. And they have what they've received from some other means other than the hand of God. That's right. Then notice the second thing there. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Huh? Meditating in the Scriptures. You can't get by and prosper for God apart from separation and the Word of God. Now, may I say to you, gentlemen, and I'll use another illustration here, that is exactly what happened in the life of Samson. Samson failed in both of those areas. He feasted. He lived around that bunch of devils and hobnobbed with the devil's crowd. Tried to shack up with every whore he could get a hold of. Chased every skirt that he could chase. Oh, hey, you really think you can get along in life chasing women? Huh? Do you believe God is going to bless you as a skirt chaser, or chasing every woman that comes down the pike? Buddy, I'll guarantee you, he didn't, Solomon. Solomon reaped what he sowed. That may be where we're trying to get to. Hey, David just simply reaped what he had sowed with God. Now, notice something else. I'm saying that God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to be prosperous. Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. Brother Jerry knows where it's at. Joshua chapter number 1 and in verse number 8. Now, I'll get there in a minute. Let's look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. He's talking to Joshua. No man shall stand against thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When was Joshua going to make his way prosperous, gentlemen? But not just being a hearer of the word. He said that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. I believe he's talking about obedience. And not just a hearer. Brother James said, if we're just a hearer of the word of God and not a doer, then we're deceiving ourselves. Hey, God's not looking for somebody that'll hear. God's looking for somebody that'll do. And I'm telling you that we're living in an hour in America when it's hard to get church members and people to do. That's right. And somebody said, why is it, Brother Hall? I'm just going to be honest with you. It's because we're living a life of prosperity. And when we get involved in prosperity, it leads us to do for ourselves and forget those around us. And it reveals a selfish attitude toward us. I want to say this to you men. I am doing my best to guard myself against falling into the Satan snare in building that house out there. I've got enough sense to realize that I'm going to have to cut the apron strings and leave that responsibility to these men that are building it, because God hadn't given me the responsibility to build a house. God's left me and endowed me with the responsibility of taking care of God's house. And I believe if I'll take care of God's house, God'll take care of my house. But gentlemen, on the same terms, if you'll take care of God's house, God'll take care of your house. See, we're too involved with ourselves to be concerned about the house of God. I know that's right. I know that's right. Hey, and if you don't think it is, read Revelation chapter number 3 about that Laodicean church. There was a church, folks, that said, hey, we're increased with goods. Why, we've become rich. Why, we absolutely have need of nothing. But God said, you don't realize that you're miserable and wretched and naked and blind. And He said, the cure for that is that you might anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. In other words, God said, you need some salve on your eyes that will open them up that you might see the truth. They thought they were getting along fine, and all the time Jesus was standing at the outside of the door of the church knocking, trying to get in. That is not a salvation verse, gentlemen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That is a verse for fellowship and supplication where the Lord Jesus has been put outside the house of God and everything else has taken precedence besides Him. Amen. And as Benny said Tuesday night, He is the preeminent one. He's the head of the church. He's the head of all things. And we ought to give Him His rightful position down at the house of God. We're too involved in everything else, gentlemen. And if we're not prosperous, we're trying to get prosperous. We ain't made it, we're trying to make it. We're trying to get there. May God help us. Hey, don't realize that we fail to be doers of the Word of God. May God help us. May God help us. Hey, there's not a doubt in my mind, when David realized what David had done in that scripture, and repentance had gripped his heart. He said in verse 4, saying unto the Lord, O ye His saints of His, give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness, for His anger endureth but a moment, but in His favor is life. Weepeth may endure it for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Do you gentlemen know what God does? God said, David, I'll give you 3 choices. Now hear me well. When we forget God, gentlemen, when we forget God, we're in danger of God forgetting us. I know I don't sit well with Baptists. Huh? If we neglect so great a salvation, gentlemen, how do you think we're going to stand if we neglect such a great salvation God has given us? We neglect God, we just might as well. We're going to reap what we sow. God's going to neglect us. Amen and amen. But look here.
David said, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weepeth may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." God told David, said, "Now, David, one of three things." He said, 7 years of famine, or he said, "You can be put to flight by your enemies, or you can have a pestilence in the land." David said unto God, he said, "I'd rather fall into the hands of God than to fall in the hands of man." He said, "God's a merciful God. Just let God do what's right. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" Yes, sir, God done right. But I'm telling you, David reaped what he sowed, gentlemen. David reaped what he sowed. David reaped what he sowed. That's right. And we get prosperous, we'll fail to obey God because we'll get caught up with self and I-ism rather than God-ism. Now, there's one more verse that I wanted to turn to. I'll not take time to turn there, but Psalm 122, verse number 6. And it says there simply that they that love Jerusalem shall prosper. Now, look here. I'm just here to... I don't make no bones about it. But I'm telling you... are out to nail down the apple of God's eye are in trouble with God, gentlemen. Did you hear what I said? And when America turns her eye on that beloved city of God, she's in trouble. And that verse goes on to say we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. For then, you know, we'll have great prosperity. That blessing to Abraham still stands. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. It's still there, gentlemen. It's still there. And I'm going to tell you, hey, if America, I'm satisfied, that is the only thing that's keeping our country afloat right now. It's sure in our morality. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not saying this to try to be critical of what Benny said, but God's taught me a few things. Benny said, well, he said he didn't think it was right for this Paula Jones, after so many years, to bring up the situation with President Clinton and try to prosecute him for that because she should have done it back then. Well, I understand what he's saying from a human standpoint. Yes, she should have brought it up back then. But, gentlemen, I want to remind you that God knows when to bring up what at the right time to bring the most embarrassment and cause us the greatest... Are you hearing me? God knows when it needs to be done, gentlemen. Somebody said, I've been getting by pretty good. Hey, payday's not always on Friday with God. God doesn't always pay on Friday. Sometimes you get paid on Wednesdays. Sometimes you get paid on Thursdays. Sometimes you get paid on Sundays. But mark her down, God always pays. Hey, and those that become self-confident and rely upon their prosperity, gentlemen, there is a payday coming down the road. Whether it be man, church, nation, whatever, there is a payday coming. Payday coming. That's right. That's right. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what are the dangers of prosperity? I want to mention these to you. And they're kind of... won't take long, but I want to mention some of them to you. There are some dangers. And gentlemen, like I said, and I want everybody to understand this, there is nothing wrong with prosperity if it is godly prosperity. And hear me well now. I'm going to say this. Godly prosperity always comes by providence. By providence. Do you know what providence is, gentlemen? Providence is something that happens in your life that you have no earthly control over whatsoever. Amen. You didn't bring it about. You didn't do it. It was just brought about. Amen. Just like Joseph being thrown in the pit. Joseph, hey, providence of God. I mean, Joseph had nothing to do with that. I mean, them boys, them brothers of his, just put him in. That woman there in Potiphar's house, Joseph, that wasn't Joseph's fault. I mean, he couldn't help that. That woman just stowed herself upon him. The prison house, I'm talking about a very complexing situation, but that wasn't Joseph's fault. I mean, God put him there. And then God put him on the throne down in Egypt, all through the providence of God. And God prospered Joseph. Yes. God, and by the way, if you read the Bible, you find that he was even prospering while he was in the prison house. And while he was in Potiphar's house. And while he was sitting on the throne, God was a prospering that man. Through providence. I'm going to tell you where we get into trouble is when our prosperity, when we become greedy. Huh? Amen. Now, somebody, thank you, Brother Jerry. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, there's nobody at Island Ford Baptist Church. That's it. Females and finances. My mama told me the other day, she said, son, said, I don't believe the president's guilty of all that stuff. Said, why? Said, if he had done all that stuff, said, his wife wouldn't stay with him 5 minutes. I said, mama, his wife's not interested in him. All that woman wants is the power, the position, and the prestige that comes with what she's doing. She don't give a flip for that man. Or you hear mom say, females and finances, gentlemen. Hey, you really want me to give you one that blowed my mind when I heard it the other day? Son, it blowed my mind. My tax man, my accountant, I said, well, I said, Mr. Paulette, I said, they let old Slick Willie off. And we call him Columbo. He acts like Columbo did on television years ago when I used to be wicked. But he looked at me and he said, no wonder they let him off. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, federal judges are not elected. They're appointed. Now, get me now and said their salaries is $200,000 a year. And most of them work 10 years and retire. And their retirement is $100,000 a year in retirement. Now, then he smiled, that little old smile, that Mr. Paulie hasn't looked over them glasses. And he said, she didn't have any choice. Preacher Hall said, if she had found in Paula Jones' favor, said, she'd have been biting the hand that was a feeding her. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about females and finances, buddy. It's crippling our church. Robbing us of the power of God, depriving us of the blessings of God, and we're more involved in females and prosperity than we are in the power and the blessings of God on our lives. Yes, sir. When God brought them up out of the land of Egypt, he said in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10, and it shall be, it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggedest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantedest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. Then, gentlemen, beware. Beware of what, Brother Hall? Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out. Somebody said, oh, God's people can't forget the Lord. You must not be listening. I'm telling you, David was surrounded in servants, and David was surrounded with men servants and maid servants, wealth and riches and prosperity. But hey, he got so self-confident, he said, I'm going to count the people and find out just how powerful I really am. He found out he wasn't too powerful, gentlemen. That danger of forgetting God. Now, I know you can, or he wouldn't have written it down there. It wasn't written down there. And look here, I found a real danger in that. A real danger in that. Now, I don't have time to read all this. I know I've just rambled around, but fellas, I'm telling you, I've had such a hard time with this chapter. I mean it. I've had a difficult time with it. And I really have. But hey, do you know that one of the promises God gave to those people in the land, that they would continue to walk in His ways and remember Him and keep His precepts and keep His promises? In verse number 2, He said, "And that thy days may be prolonged." May be prolonged. You know what God's saying? God said, go ahead, get self-confident, cocky, arrogant, filled up with pride, self-confidence, self-satisfaction, dependent upon you. Go on, get filled up with all that mess. And said, hey, you're in danger of being taken on out prematurely. I'm telling it right, fellas. I'm telling it right. And look here, there's another big problem in that chapter. He said, my word, He said, you better teach it to your children. That's right. He said, you think about my word when you're laying down at night. Think about it when you're getting up in the morning. Think about it all day long. Keep my word upon your heart. And said, diligently teach that word to your children. I'm going to ask you something. How can you teach anything to somebody you ain't got in your heart already? I'm going to tell you why our Baptist churches are weak, gentlemen. It's because the man of God, he knows something up here, but he doesn't have the Word of God down here. That's right. Buddy, you got to have something in your heart to teach it to somebody. You hear me well, gentlemen. You forget your God, you're going to forget His Word. You'll get careless around the house. That's where it'll show up first of all, is around the house. And I guarantee you, your wife could tell a tale on most of you. I'm telling it right. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, hey, for all these things do the Gentiles seek after. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, these things shall be added unto you. I tell you, we're like a dog chasing our tail, trying to find things, when God said, if you'll find me, I'll provide the things. That's right, fellas. You just seek me and find me, and I'll take care of everything else. Gentlemen, I'm going to say something that's going to probably hair-lip half of you and confuse the other half. Do you know, if you'll notice this verse at this chapter I just read in Psalms, David started out, I will extol thee, I'll praise thee, for thou hast, thou hast, thou hast, thou hast. Four times he says, thou hast. Thou hast. Thou hast. Thou hast. Now, don't nobody get me wrong now. I'm getting ready to say something I know some of you ain't going to agree with. But look here. Jesus said that He knows what things we have need of before we ever even ask Him those things. And look here. I don't find David asking for one thing in Psalm number 30. What are you getting at, Brother Hall? I'm saying this, gentlemen. If our ways are pleasing God, and God knows what we have need of before we ever ask, then God is going to supply them whether we ask for them or whether we don't. And if we would spend our time appraising God for what He already has done, then we wouldn't have to be a beggar for what we wanted Him to do. He'd just already be a doing it. That's right. My hand of God. Until this thing started with that house, I never asked God for a home. I never asked God for a car. I've never asked God for money. I've never asked Him for a raise. I've never asked God to give me worldly possessions. I've tried to my best, hey, to basically praise God for lifting an old sinner Woo! Lifted an old sinner up out of the quagmires and the filth of this world. I've tried to extol his name at the house of God because he's been good to me. I've tried to thank him for my family that God's given me. Had a man to stand up and testify, a preacher, just the other night. Stood up and testified, Brother John Fletcher, he's got a little girl, got a baby, that she won't live right. And I preached the other night and mentioned that thought on my little hope chest, that I'm hoping for a family reunion. When I got done preaching, old John stood up. He said, you ain't going to believe this. But he said, two nights ago, me and my wife was a-praying. Said, we got done praying. Said, I looked over at her and said, honey, said, I wonder how it would be to be like Brother Hall and have all of your children in the church house with you, preaching to all your youngins. Said, I believe we'll pray. Trust God. God will save that baby. Get her off of cocaine. Bring her into the house of God. Hey, old John said, and preacher, when you preach tonight, God just confirmed it. I'm looking for the family circle on the other side. The man said, what is this? We just praise God for what he's already done. Let God take care of everything else. Huh? Yeah. Jerry, if I wasn't out of wind, I'd go with you. I didn't have my herbal adjustment yesterday. Huh? Ain't that right, fellas? Look here. If we'll stay right with God, brethren, the blessings of God are just naturally going to fall upon us. Somebody said to my brother Hall, how can that be? Let me just give you a little example. When all my kids were living at home, did they ever have to walk up and ask me, Daddy, can I eat supper tonight? Daddy, can I go in there and get in my bed and go to sleep tonight? Daddy, can I come in the house and stay warm tonight, Daddy? Huh? Daddy, do you care if I ride to church with you today or you want me to walk? Huh? You know why? Just natural blessings. Amen. Daddy had it, they had it. Amen. God's got it. God's got it. We got it. Amen. In him is all yea, gentlemen. And there is no nay in God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we are complete in him. Hallelujah to God. And he that delivered up his own son for us, how shall he not by him freely give us all things? All things. All things. For these things do the Gentiles seek. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you. I'm not a helper and a wilter, but I'm telling you right now, and I said it from the beginning, that God wants us to prosper. God wants us to prosper. Daddy got it, son got it. Huh? But you know, you let one of them foul up, might start a shoe shop somewhere in the backside. I'm talking about kicking the old backside, if you know what I'm talking about. And that's what God done to David. David said, oh, I'm so self-satisfied. I'm self-satisfied. And said, man, said, I'm living pretty good. Said, I'm set up for life. God's just going to show him who's still boss, gentlemen.
Amen, glory to God.
God's just going to show him who's still boss.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
They forgot God.
Amen.
They forgot God, and the youngins suffered because of it.
Amen.
That's right. The children suffered. Yes. Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. Old Brother Donnie Harvey preached over at Brother Griffith's on Friday morning, the last man to preach Friday morning. And I'd never heard Brother Harvey preach. They said the day before he preached a tremendous message. But I'm going to tell you, he preached on that thought. Was it in Numbers
or I can't remember the text, where the 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side of Jordan set up a witness. They called it Ed, between them and the other tribes. I'm telling you, I wish you'd have heard that man preach. Yes, right. And he got on them 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side. He said, do you know who suffered out of that? Their children.
Amen.
Their children.
Amen.
Now, hear me well, and you better get a hold of this. Hey, gentlemen, failure, or should I say forgetting God, and becoming complacent and self-satisfied and self-confident will cost you something. Do you know why that Manasseh and Gad, or the half-tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad stayed on the other side of the Jordan? I'm going to tell you why. They looked out and said, my God, this is a wonderful place to feed our cattle.
Amen.
Plenty of grass, lots of water.
Amen.
And we've got lots of cattle. And if we stay over here and feed, son, why, we'll grow richer and richer and richer. Prosperity, gentlemen. Prosperity.
Amen.
Huh? They set their eyes on those grassy fields, buddy, and said, now we'll go on over and do a little bit of fighting, but we're going to live over here. Oh, that's right. If you know we're not careful, we'll get right there. Prospering in God and the thought will enter our mind. We'll do a little fighting, but I'm going to stay right where I'm at. I'll do a little fighting, but I'm going to stay right where I'm located. Now I want you to get the consequences of those tribes staying there. The outcome of it. Jesus, when he was here in his ministry, got in a boat one day, a ship, and headed across the sea, and the wind was tempestuous and strong, and he calmed the sea and so forth. And when he stepped foot on the other shore, there met him a man out of the tombs. Do you know what that man was? He was a man of the Gad Arenes. I'm talking about the tribe of Gad, gentlemen. Descendants. Descendants of the Gad, the family, the tribe of Gad. Wild. Wild. I've never seen her fail. Hear me well. I've never seen it to fail that a man become prosperous in the church house, get a little bit of money on his pocket, think he's got it made, and kick out. Whoa, his family will turn out louder than hell itself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Boom, bapa, boom, bapa, boom, bapa, boom, bapa, boom, bapa. Huh? Family paid for it, gentlemen. There's dangers there of forgetting God. There's the danger of becoming complacent, self-satisfied. I've got all I need. I'm done. Now, we've been studying that, preaching through that in the book of Hebrews now for a year. That the theme of that book, the theme of it is Christ superior to all. We know that. But the promptings in Hebrews 6 is go on. Chapter 3 is go on. Chapter 4 is go on. Chapter 5 is go on. And you know why it's all there? Because there's a big danger of stopping. Did you read what David said there? I mean, we make jokes about it. But David said, hey, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Going to church tonight, honey? There's a little something here. There it is. It's a wildcat. Are y'all following me? You know I had to get on that a little bit. But fellas, hey, do you know the saddest consequence of all of it? It's right in our text. So sad. So sad. Will you read it with me? In verse 7. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. Do you see the contrast in verse 7? Gentlemen, everybody look right up here at me. In the Word of God, a mountain, the majority of time, is a type of government. David said, Lord, you've called you. My government has stood. I'm strong. He said, in your favor, you set me up. What David is saying there, in your favor, you showed me kindness. I was a shepherd boy and had nothing but a few little bleating sheep. And you set me up. And at one time in David's ministry, when he was approached by the prophet that reminded David of where God had brought him from, David said, who am I? Who am I? David's there saying, Lord, said I was just a little shepherd boy. And you raised me up, and you've given me this and put this whole government of Israel on my shoulders. You have blessed me, and I've prospered. But notice what he said. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. My God, where are you? You set me up. You bless me. Somebody said it won't happen to me. I'm telling you, it can.
Amen.
Yes, sir. You set me up, Lord. You bless me. My government, my nation, my country that I'm ruler over is strong, Lord. Hey, Lord, you bless me. My home, the church, we're going right. We're moving in the right direction. God, you prospered me. Lord, where are you? David said all he'd done was hit his face and he was troubled.
Amen.
Now, gentlemen, the key to that is in the very first part of that. Lord, thy favor. Now, gentlemen, I want to say something. You might get by with forgetting God a little bit. You might get by with having a little self-confidence and get by with getting complacent and just stagnant on God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God ever pulls His hand off of you and you lose favor and grace with God, you're done, buddy. I'm talking about losing favor. He lost a smile. You know, David in one place said, Lord, cause thy face to shine upon us and we shall be saved. The face of God is always a picture of God's favor and God's blessing. And look here. David didn't say, God, you left me. God, you deserted me. God, you've gone. You've departed. He said, all you've done was just hid your face from me. Hey, fellas. You ever have a spat with your wife? Now, don't you lie, you devil. You ever have a little spat with your wife? She walk into the bedroom, lay down on the bed, lay her face down, and you walk in there and say, honey, hey, sweetheart. Honey, talk to me. Honey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hey. Honey, I know you're mad. I'm sorry. Hey, but look here. And all night long, and the next morning, honey, where's my coffee? Honey, where's my breakfast today? Honey, I'm sorry you're angry. But then along about that evening, I lost my lens. I'm a... Along about that evening, she's back downstairs and back on that bed again. Honey, I'm sorry. And for the first time, she turns her face a little bit toward you. And as she turns, you see that tear. Thought comes to you. Her anger endureth just for a little while. And all the time she's the one got the tears, but you're the one that's weeping in your heart, right, wanting that favor back.
Right.
And joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. God put the joy bells a ringing back in old David. I can't close without finishing this. Look in. I can't read with him, okay? Look in verse number 11.
Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing.
Amen. God, amen.
Huh?
David
said, yes, Lord, I've sinned. And you're angry. And in my prosperity, God, I've become self-confident and become complacent. And I forgot God for a season. And your anger was kindled. But thank God that your anger endured for a while. And joy comes in the morning.
David said, thank God I can dance again.
Y'all seen them black folk doing a little of that holy dance over there?
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. I told them my only problem was my voice was too scratchy from preaching the same sweet, and my body was too stiff from arthritis to sway with them.
Huh?
He said, Lord, he said, you've put off my sackcloth, girded me with gladness. And gentlemen, he said, to the end, that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God. I will give thanks unto Thee forever.
Amen.
Fellas, now I'll close saying this. You know what the moral of that story is? Making up is always sweet.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Ain't that right?
Yes,
David said, you. They said, you've turned my. Said, when you turned, said, you hid your face for a little while and said, I was troubled. Said, under God, I'm telling you, my old heart was just a jumping and a flopping. But said, when you smiled back on me, I was dancing again.
Yes,
praising God again. Oh, yes, gentlemen. Hey, there are some dangers of prosperity. Better beware of them. Better beware of them, because we live in a land of prosperity. Better beware of them.